Our guest today is MIA, the beat-driven artist originally from Sri Lanka and now centered in London, whose two albums have drawn influences from global club culture as well as the sounds of the world at large. She's on the cutting edge of moving music forward. Her words encompass the personal and political on both of her albums, A Ruler and Kala. She is here today to play live. Her U.S. tour was a bit in doubt as visa problems postponed her trip originally, and I asked her about that to begin our conversation.
It kind of got resolved with bureaucracy doing its natural course. But, there was a problem. I think they said that my identity matched someone of a terrorist and that they had to eliminate me from that list. And it took about 10 months. And,
10 months.
That's just the way it goes.
Well, we're glad you're here. The album sounds, people have talked about it sounding like a street, but in some ways it sounds like a clearing in the woods. You know, it sounds like a dirt street somewhere. I understand that the first tracks you started working on were when you were in India. Is that accurate? You did some percussion recording there, or how did that work out?
I kind of started off doing, met sort of people and made connections and stuff. And I kind of, on the first trip, established that, the people that I was going to work with and stuff. But I kind of went into the studio just to record like a couple of songs, like Wild Town and Boys. And so we just took like the beats and, you know, I just sort of like stored them. And then it's on my second trip that I was able to sort of get more into it and do songs like Burflu and actually get into their rhythm of it. And then we kind of built the whole album like a cake, like just layer by layer. We just went to different countries, but we always sort of brought up the same files and made sense of all the stuff that we'd recorded in London.
Did you consciously, before you get started, figure on how this was going to be different than RULR? Because that is such a... it's a personal album, it's a political album, but it's all about you, and this one has a broader scope in so many ways. So were you trying to do that?
I think that if you're just sort of like simply reflecting the environment and you're an artist that, you know, responds to social things all the time, I think, you know, the climate I made Ruler in and then when I made Kala, like, had changed, you know. And when I made Ruler, I felt like I was sort of, you know, totally engulfed by politics and I was soaking so much of it up just from mainstream media and reading the news every day and stuff like that. And in the time, it was just in everywhere. It was going on, you know, and I felt like it was important to make something like that then. But on this album, I think because all the immigration stuff was happening, it became more about that and I couldn't really help it. And, you know, just traveling to places like India and Africa and stuff, there's a vibe of it that it could be the future or it could hold some sort of key to it. And, you know, it was just really interesting being there at the time and just seeing all the stuff that's going on in America and then seeing stuff that's going on in the rest of the planet. It just felt more appropriate to make an album sort of reflecting those things. It was more about building the bridge between those two places, like the first and the third.
Speaking of that, what's it like to jump between those two places? I mean, to be in India, to be in Africa, and then jump here to, you know, pristine USA.
I don't know. I mean, it's really weird. You do feel like it's not a lot of people you could share that thing with, you know, but it seems like there's a new scene and everybody's sort of linked by technology and this new sound and the freedom to do whatever they want and be whoever they want.
Well, speaking of the technology, if you hadn't stumbled on the Roland 505, do you think you would have remained a filmmaker and stayed in that end of things? Or did the technology kind of spark this?
I think I was doing really well with the film thing. was like, yeah, I'm onto something. And, you know, I was doing the same thing, whatever it was, you know, whether it was taking pictures or making films, I was always trying to work something out every day. And, yeah, the machine changed, you know. But I don't know, I could still go back to it, though. I'm thinking I might.
That'd be great. Well, tell me about working with African Boy and how Hustle. I guess you'll do that one first. How did this come about?
AB is from this part of London where nobody goes, called Woolwich. And he's actually a Nigerian immigrant that's been here for a little bit, and he's in school and stuff. But he did this track called One Day I Went to Little. And it became like a big underground hit. And, you know, just before that happened, we kind of got in touch with each other through MySpace. And, you know, he met me in like the first day he started working on Hustle. And, you know, I was just really happy to find him. Like, he, to me, is like the future.
Well, this is, you can do that live. This is Hustle.
Hustle, 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 grind, grind, grind. Why does everyone go hustle on their mind? Hustle, 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 grind, grind, grind. Why does everyone go hustle on their mind?
Huss will be getting our session today with MIA, who's here. Who's spinning? Who's running the decks here?
DJ Low Budget, the one half of Holotronics from Philadelphia, and Cherry Banton, who's going to help me out with vocals.
Well, we talk about a ruler being personal and political. There are probably a lot of people listening who don't really know your story. I talk about it also being related to your father. Your father was is a member of the rebels in Sri Lanka.
My father was one of the four sort of revolutionary movements that started off in the 70s in Sri Lanka. And then, like, his party is different to the main one that's representing it now. And, like, they all got killed off. They all started killing each other, actually. And then the Tigers basically, like, killed off the other three and became the main one. So he doesn't do it anymore, but in the 70s and 80s when I lived there, that was going on, and we left for like political asylum in like 86 and came to England.
What was that like for you to make that transition to begin with? What was it like?
At that time, I guess, you know, in the 80s, we were part of, I think the Sri Lankan community is probably one of the biggest influx of refugees to Great Britain, but nowadays there's just so many kids that can sympathize or relate to what I went through, and I feel like you know, I think it's not even just the matter of being a refugee and coming to a new place, it's just being okay with the concept of war going on around you. And coming to England, you learn everything just as like something you have to learn, you know, because you always feel like you had a life somewhere else and that was your life. And so the way I sort of process information, the way I learn it is just, it's affected by that, you know what I mean?
By the necessity of here's where I am and this is what I have to do?
Yeah, I think so. Yesterday I did this interview and somebody said the same thing to me and they were like, you know, that's your style. And it's, you know, I was thinking about it and it kind of is true that you come to England and everything I sort of learned, you don't, it's not so steeped in history and, you know what I mean, patriotism and stuff like that. So that's why, like, hip-hop was the first thing. I was totally fine with it because I didn't understand the punkness of hip-hop happening at that time in the West, you know what I mean? To me, it wasn't like that. It was just like, this music sounds amazing. Like,
we're talking about things like Public Enemy.
Is it like that? A lot of stuff, like the way I take it in, it's just like I take it in on face value.
Do you go back to Sri Lanka now?
No. Yeah. The war's still going on. It's a. I don't know. It's a really weird thing that's happening to me because it is the fact that I'm a Tamil and I left when, you know, the sort of Tamils were getting wiped out, because over there you can't really tell a civilian apart from a terrorist, you know what I mean? And Sri Lanka decided to write up the Tamil Tigers as a terrorist organization when they bombed a religious spot, because that's one of the things that classifies you as a terrorist. And when that happened, it was so intense, like nobody could be there. You know, it wasn't even the Tigers. You just, you know, babies, kids, whatever the thing is. So there was a lot of people that left between the years of 83 and 87. And I don't know, it's still, it's kind of weird coming here and being on the radio, you know what I mean? It's because it's really difficult to define what's going on there. It's really difficult to judge it. It's really difficult to monitor it. And it's, you know what I mean? It's a bit Wild West out there. So even if I go, I don't know how long I'd last, you know, from whatever side.
MIA is our guest today on The Cafe. Fans of the World Cafe are certainly familiar with Roadrunner, which is one of the samples and one of the lyrics that come on during Bamboo Banga. Can you do that one live?
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Pambubanga, another one that you will find on Kala, the new MIA album, and playing live for us today. And Kala's your mom?
Yes.
So album that was kind of directed at your dad was the first one, album to your mom. Is that how that works out?
Well, that's kind of how it's ended up being. But initially, I was just going to do something to do with, you know, more of a personal sort of female-ish album, because, you know, I was having loads of problems with that. And I think it's really difficult to be an artist in 2007 and, like, be a woman and age in music. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's a really weird concept. So, I don't know. On the one hand, I was thinking success is a really good thing and blah, 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 blah. And my mom would really appreciate it. But, you know, as an artist, it's not necessarily something that's important, you know? So, I don't know. That's what I was going to make the album about, but it changed.
Yeah, that's
with immigration
sure.
problems.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it is what it is.
Well, so what did she get it? What did she think of it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think having Jimmy on there really helps because she sort of sees it more as music. But she's always like, can't you just get a job in a bank?
Yeah.
You know, she still does that.
Still, huh?
Yep.
So much of what you do combines so many different kinds of music. And you do, you mentioned the Clash and their version of Roadrunner. You use a great Clash sample. And in some ways, the Clash were one of the first bands. I actually remember having a conversation with them about how when they started playing reggae before their shows, that was like acknowledging what was going on in London at the time. And it was really important for bringing people together. Do you so many people revere the Clash. Have they developed as somebody that's important to you or were they?
Yeah, I came from London and, you know, it's just kind of London musicology.
Yeah.
Like you have to know, you know, especially like I lived in West London too at some point, and you have the bands like the Slits and the Clash and people like that who've made a really big impact. But I think, I don't know, it's really hard to say because I get it, you know. I also understand how, like, Johnny Rotten speaks and stuff. And when I first heard about them, and it's all this music I came to afterwards, you know.
Yeah.
Like, it's through getting introduced through friends that I met in Britpop and stuff. And I don't know, I feel like, I wish that I'd experienced it the first time around, and so much of their music is about, yeah, it's reflective of the times and what was going on and being right there on the spot, that it just would have been amazing to feel it, you know.
But it wasn't your time. And what was music that you first got immersed in? Was it hip-hop?
It was hip-hop, yeah. That's what was happening to the world. It was just like the only thing to me that was going on that I felt like remotely relatable to, you know, and it was amazing. It gave you like a whole new lifestyle.
MIA is our guest on the Cafe, and I wanted to play the Paper Planes, which is the track that has a Clash sample in it. Where did this, tell me a little bit about where this song came from for you.
Straight to Hell track.
Yeah.
It was just something that I think me and Diplo had like a day to work on a song, and it was just something that, I don't know, it was just first thing in the morning, like Wes had the song and he put it on and we decided to think about it and stuff. And, you know, initially the sample was just there as an idea, and then the song came out just pretty quickly. I think I did it while I was making like tea. I wasn't even ready yet. And, you know, we just kept it exactly how it was. And yeah, the sound effects came a bit later.
Yeah. You talk about sound effects, and one of the sound effects on the record, a bunch is the sound of gunshots in one way or another. Are you finding that around the world? I heard like in Brazil, that's like a big use of that as a sample, as a percussion.
Yeah. I think when it comes to street music, it is. It just kind of goes hand in hand in places like that. Mm. I mean, you know, there's loads of stuff to why that happens. But to me, when I was making a ruler and stuff, I wasn't really that conscious of it. It was just natural to just be like, yeah, it is the loudest percussive sound on the planet. And, you know, if the whole talk every day seems to be about how hard you could be and how bad you could be and how, you know, being the best is being twice as worse, you know what I mean? Which is what I was learning from the whole Iraqi war. And I just thought using gunshots in a song is just nothing, you know what I mean? It's like marshmallow fluff. And it's kind of getting worse as the longer time I spend in music, you know, people are finding it more and more sort of threatening, I suppose. But I think it's because it's just spreading and more people are getting to hear my music.
Yeah.
But the kids that initially heard my music and was into it because of that, you know. It's just reality. It's like, yeah, here's some sound, here's a gunshot, here's some money, here's some girls, here's some da-da-da-da-da. You know what I mean? This is the culture of music.
And this is Paper Planes.
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. We got Paper Planes.
Paper Planes live with MIA playing live for us. Music from Kala, the second album. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you.
And we'll be back in a moment here on the World Cafe.